Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next hour. Thank you for joining me. I invite you to hang out with me, actually, for the next hour as we seek a deeper and more closer, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. A great privilege to do so. I'm grateful to be back with you. I wasn't here last week. I was remote and had to use a rebroadcast. And so I hope you caught that on the radio. And I didn't know in advance that I wouldn't be here. So I'm sorry if you tuned in and couldn't find me. A friend was telling me about that today. So thank you for joining me. It's kind of funny when you do this type of work. The Lord really lays things on your heart. And sometimes you don't want to talk about them. Sometimes you want to avoid the more challenging subjects and the things that call us to pay attention to everything that Jesus said, not just the things that make us feel really, really good. And I just wanted to focus on a few things today that might be challenging, but by the end of the hour, it will be all good. So I just want to encourage you to hang in there with me. And, because the Lord really laid this on my heart. And I have to trust that. Okay, so I'm sure that most of you out there are trying to very hard to live a good life. You work hard. You love your family. You try to take care of them the best you can. You value peace, not war. You try to be kind as much as you can, and you value kindness and try to help the poor, et cetera, et cetera. You see somebody in need, you try to do something about it, you seek ways to be happy and enjoy this life, right? I think most of us can agree that we try to do the same things in many ways. We're all human. We have certain needs for love and joy and giving ourselves in service to others. It's something that we all do, and it just comes naturally in a way. But for Christians, there's more to this life than those general concerns and actions. So we love Jesus Christ. And he tells us in the Bible scriptures and through the church, what a believer, one who loves him, is to do and to be. Just because we pray a prayer or get baptized or whatever and have a beginning of a relationship with him, that doesn't mean that we can just say, okay, I'm done. I've done what I had to do. I got baptized, or I prayed a prayer to him to ask him to be my Lord and Savior, or I'm gonna come into my life. But I'm going to do whatever I want to do, or worse, I'm going to pick and choose the things that he has laid out for us that will actually make us the happiest. But a lot of times we read them the wrong way. So anyway, for Christians, there's more to life than the generalities of family and work and those things I mentioned before. And I want to share with you at Mass yesterday in church, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit. And the, John goes on to say, the Spirit of truth. Well, this is Jesus speaking. And John has written it down and is sharing it with us. So I'll start over again. I didn't mean to confuse you. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it. But you know it because it remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This kept coming to me even before yesterday. This particular part of John's gospel just kept kind of almost haunting me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say that the Spirit of truth that he is going to give us to live within us, to teach us, to remind us, to keep close to him, etc., the Holy Spirit, the world will not accept because they don't have him yet. He's talking about unbelievers. Believers have the Spirit, which reveals to them the truth, if they're listening. All right? And then, but the world can't know the truth, nor the Spirit, because they have not become believers and have not listened to what the Spirit has to say. But Jesus goes on, as I'm not going to leave you as orphans. When I go back to my Father, I will come to you through the Holy Spirit, and he will return, of course. Okay. And the reason that this keeps coming back to me, what is laid on my heart is, I'm very concerned. There's a lot of wonderful things going on in the church and in Christianity right now. A lot of people are returning to Jesus who fell away from him somewhere in, you know, over their lifetime. And there's a lot of young people that have never had any kind of faith or spiritual experiences as children. They're seeing the truth and the beauty of Jesus Christ, and they're flocking to the churches, you know, like the Catholic Church is really, really booming around the world. Don't listen to the press or even some of your Catholic friends. They'll tell you, well, it's losing more than they're getting. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but all I know is that the ones that we're getting are on fire and in love with Jesus Christ and will allow him to use them. And that's why, you know, a lot of people said to me when I became Catholic, when I joined the Catholic Church, I can't tell you how many times people said, oh, converts make the best Catholics or Catholic Christians. And I would say to them, well, that's because we had to give up something or had to learn something new. And we didn't want to make a mistake. And so we worked really hard to find out what Jesus taught, what the church teaches, and why. The why. And when you experience that and you really open your heart to that instead of staying closed-minded and closed-hearted, you're on fire with joy and with excitement. You have found that pearl of great price. You have found something extraordinarily valuable. And I've said many times, and I'll say it probably, I hope, I pray, for the rest of my life. It's the greatest joy of my life. I was a Christian all my life, but I have to say, part of what this scripture speaks to is my own failures in the past. And, you know, every day we have some failures where we disappoint the Lord, but if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I was raised as a Christian, not Catholic. I knew the commandments. I knew what Jesus wanted us to do and not do. I knew that he wanted, that he was my friend and that he loved me. And I took that for granted. I took it for granted. When I was younger, I would do whatever I wanted every day. I did not ever say, I would pray about certain specific things, but I never said, Lord, I want to do this, but what's your idea? What do you think? Is this the best way to use my skills or my talents or my ability to help others? Or is this just me being worldly and wanting prestige and money and an exciting career that people will look up to me with? And I never asked him about that. I saw something and I went after it. And because I was passionate about it, everything that I did, I learned everything. I put my whole self into it, and I did very, very well. But I can tell you now, it was not God's will that I was in that, but he allowed me to do it. I was in the music business, the rock and roll business on a grand scale, and I was in the movie business. I worked for Universal Pictures for a while. And I just thought that was all that, you know. And I would go to, at night, I'd go to bed, I'd read my Bible, and I'd pray. But most of the time I was praying that God would forgive me for the things I was doing during the day that I shouldn't be. Instead of not doing them, I wanted that job, and I was going to get, I was going to keep it. And, well, it's a long story, but eventually I was working for a band, and they, I was their assistant road manager, and I went home for a vacation, and a few things happened while I was home, and I realized I was turning into someone I didn't like, because I was leaving, I was putting Jesus on the back burner, and not loving him the way that he deserves to be loved. And I was not consulting him. I was doing what I wanted to do. And that little, you know, prayer at the end of the day and reading the Bible in many ways was just me trying to get fire insurance. That's what it's called when you believe and you do in the Christian faith just enough to avoid going to hell. Fire insurance. It's not a relationship. It's not love. It's not even good for your neighbor. It's just doing your own thing and saying, well, the Lord loves me and, you know, he's merciful, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm okay. Well, you're not okay. You're not okay. And I knew that firsthand. Yeah, he loves us unconditionally, but is he happy with you? Is he happy with what you're doing? Well, don't do what I did, please. Don't keep doing it. Repent. The first public words out of Jesus' mouth were repent and believe. Repent. Repentance is turning away from whatever you're doing that you know is wrong. Or if it just feels wrong, it probably is wrong. Turn away from that. Seek God's face. Apologize to him and ask him to help you to love him and to do the right things and to let go of those things that are so attractive in the world that are really destructive. Really destructive. I wouldn't wish most of the music business nor the movie business on anyone. It's vicious. It's difficult. After a while, you become very insecure because you don't know if you're going to have a job the next day, etc., etc. Some is good. Some places are great. I mean, Angel Studios, the Chosen, and a lot of the, not a lot, but quite a few studios are now doing beautiful movies and things like that. And there's wonderful Christian music out there. And I just could never be involved in either one of those anymore because of the memories that I have that you know, I really was not being a daughter of Christ. So anyway, I'm concerned when I hear Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because many Christians in the Catholic Church and other churches as well have decided they wish to follow Jesus on their terms. That's what I was doing. On their terms. There's a descriptive name for Christians that do this, and it's called cafeteria Christians or cafeteria Catholics. Catholics are Christian too. The cafeteria Christians, cafeteria Catholics, cafeteria Baptists, you name it. They're called this because they pick and choose what is attractive to them in the faith and in Jesus' teachings and ignore or reject the things that they don't like. And many believers today challenge authority, the authority of the church, the authority of even Jesus to tell them what to do, because they want to make their own religion. They don't even realize that's what they're doing. When you pick and choose church teachings and scriptural teachings, you are forming a religion of your own. I'm sorry, I did it. I know what I'm talking about. You pick and choose the good stuff and the easy stuff and the hard stuff or the challenging stuff. For instance, today, there are people who are Christian who wantingly and willingly live together without being married. And I'm not talking about just a platonic relationship. I'm talking about as lovers without being married. And it's plain flat out says in scripture that that is not to be done. And why? Okay, so you're not to do it. Because it ruins your relationship in a way that I heard one time a lot of people who've lived together before they got married, they end up divorced a lot. And you know, the whole idea of living together without being married started off, I think it's much more complicated than that now, of, well, how do you know you're compatible? How do you know that you're able to do things that you're really going to like the same things and that you'll get along when you're living together unless you live together first to find out? Well, what happens sometimes is that, well, a lot of times people break up or they settle for the relationship that they have, although they're not happy there, just because they don't want to make any changes. Or they marry the person out of guilt, but they don't really want to get married, or they're not in love with that person anymore. And so, you know, disaster, disaster, disaster. And in the meantime, God's plan is for you to get to know each other by spending a fair amount of time dating and experiencing life together outside of the lovers part in a home together, and get to know each other then and find out then if you get along well enough, or if you've just been enamored with someone and when that wears off, it's not, you know, not real love. I mean, that's what dating's for. But there's so many Christians that they make an exception to what they want to do and not follow what Jesus says, yet they still consider themselves Christian, which they are in many ways, but they're really making up their own religion. And I have a friend, she's Catholic one day and she's Protestant the next day. She goes back and forth and back and forth because she wants to make her own religion of what she will tolerate and what she won't tolerate. And that's not the way Jesus looked at it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will send you the Holy Spirit to help you do that. And I'm concerned because Jesus never said, do only what you agree with. Neither, for that matter, did God the Father in the Old Testament times. Quite the opposite. If you study the Old Testament, you'll see what I'm talking about. But God became very angry with Moses. Moses, of all people. Mr. Perfect in many of our eyes. Okay, he became very angry with Moses. Why? Because he did not circumcise his son, which was a significant part of the covenant that God had made with the Jewish people through Abraham. It was your son, your firstborn son was to be dedicated to the Lord. All your sons were to be circumcised as a part of the covenant, an agreement to say, I offer myself to you, Lord, and I will live as a faithful Jewish person, etc., etc. And then God was in covenant relationship with the Jewish people, and so it was a win-win situation. But then Moses defied God and did not circumcise his son, and God was extremely angry with him, and Moses' wife Zipporah was having nothing to do with that. She went and she circumcised their son. And because she did it, God had mercy on Moses and continued to use him. So when God tells us to do something, it's not because he's a killjoy or a field marshal or something like that. He loves us. He wants us to be in communion with him. But in communion with him means that there's obedience on our part. We accept the part of the covenant that he is giving us. So that frees him up to do everything he longs to do for us. So the story of Moses, all right, reminds us that following commandments is not just a set of laws or rules, but it's a lifeline between God and us that Jesus has made possible. It is a remarkably wonderful thing. I used to fight it. I used to do my own thing. I didn't want anybody telling me what I could or couldn't do, even God. Oh, he loves me. He's all right with it. Well, no. If you study scripture, that is not the way God works. Because when we sin, especially if we do mortal sins, serious sins, we are putting a stop sign up in front of his face and saying, I want to do my own thing. Leave me alone. And he gives us over to our desires. It's all through scripture. He never stops loving us. Always keeps trying to call us back to the right way, to the better way. But we can say no, and he will not force us. But when we say yes back to him, oh my gosh, it's just, he just loves us so much. He showers, you know, gifts on us, graces, everything. That's also in scripture, but if you do say yes to him, you come to know it firsthand in your heart and in your mind. You see it. But obedience is essential to the Christian life. And you know what obedience means in Christianity? It means we listen to his teachings. We understand them through the Catholic Catechism. And we ponder his love and the reasons for those commandments and instructions. They're always motivated by love and protection for us. So we listen, we ponder it, we look for the love in it, and then we act on it because we realize and understand that it's for our best. Okay, so everything, every single thing the Lord asks us to do, and to be is for our own good, for the good of society and culture, and is asked of us out of love and for our protection. I have a question for you. Do you... Wait a second, I had a different question. I'm going to try this one first. Be honest with yourself. Do you love Jesus Christ? Or do you just believe in him? Do you love Jesus Christ? Or do you just believe in him? Be honest with yourself. Ponder that. Maybe you don't even realize which one you do. Do you love him or do you just believe in him? Or do you love him and believe in him? Okay. So that, here's another question before I take my break. Do you practice your faith lightly? Only do what you think is enough, what you think is enough to get into heaven one day. Some call it fire insurance, like I said before that I practiced. Fire insurance. Just enough to avoid the fires of hell. It's kind of a funny saying, but it's true. I did it when I was younger. I just wanted the fire insurance while I was doing everything that I could to do my will, not God's. Totally oblivious. You're treading on thin ice when you do that. Really thin ice. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, he gives us plenty of opportunities to turn back to him and to actually really love him and do his holy will. But there's always a chance that you might die in the middle of your willfulness. You're turning away from him. And what then? Oh yeah, I was loving and merciful to you, and I showed you all the ways to be in union with me and to have the best life ever, and you spit in my face. You know, so be careful, please. Be careful. I have to take a break. I'll be right back. I want to talk to you about the good stuff next. Thanks.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Halkalane, your host for the next half hour. In the last half hour, I was talking about the scripture from yesterday's gospel that has actually been on my mind for weeks before it even showed up in this Easter season, and where Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, Holy Spirit, to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it, but you know it, because it remains with you, and I will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And I was talking about how important it is. You know, he says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's just another way of saying you will obey what I have revealed to you about the best way to live life and how much I love you And to do that, I will give you the Holy Spirit to keep you in the truth and to help you to live the way that will be best for you, and out of love, absolute love. And I was, you know, sharing some of my own story about how I used to do my own thing for years. I did my own thing, and I would just pray and read the Bible in order to stay in touch with the Lord. I threw him a bone, all right? That's crude, but that's what I was doing. I was thinking I was buying fire insurance to keep me out of heaven while I did anything and everything I wanted to do on my own without even consulting him. A lot of you out there might be that kind of person too. But how we live shows that we either really mean that we believe Jesus and we love Jesus, or it means that we don't. And I wanted to read, this is the last little thing that I wanted to share with you about from this priest. You can talk all you want about loving Jesus, he says. There's no author on here. It was just on Catholic.com. No author's name, but it was a priest. You could tell by the rest of the story. You can talk all you want about loving Jesus, but if everything else, work, family, homework, fishing, vacation, golf, ball games, friends, etc. If all of that takes precedence, more often than not, to meeting Jesus in prayer and in church, any sensible outside observer, somebody watching you, would declare quite accurately that this Jesus fellow must not be that big of a deal. Is Jesus a big deal in your life as a believer? As a non-believer, you have to, you know, it will take some time for you to learn who Jesus is and how to have a relationship with him. But if you're a believer and you are saying that you love Jesus and everything else is more important or takes precedence or is worth sacrificing church and Jesus for, then Jesus is, then beware, my friends. You might want to change your mind because he loves you so much. You don't want to live like that. If he is number one, everything is, it turns out better. Everything. That doesn't mean we're not going to have any problems and we're not going to have any heartbreaks, but it means that he'll be with us and the grace is open, because our hearts and minds are open to him to receive the grace he so desperately wants to give us when we're going through those things. So stay, get back in the graces of God. And if you don't know him, oh, call this station and leave me a message and I'll call you back. Anyway, obedience and loyalty to Jesus' commandments is both proof and a test of our love for him. Okay, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, as he mentions in that scripture, as Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, enables us to live the life that Jesus has won for us. Okay? Jesus came to save us from evil. He came to save us from evil. The battle against evil and our weaknesses has already been won through Jesus Christ. However, we can choose to live in his victory with him, or we can choose to listen to and cooperate with, I call them the spies, who have infiltrated the world and even the church, in an effort to overcome bit by bit what Jesus has won for us, to draw us away from the truth, to make us want to excuse our sin, etc., etc. This battle has already been won, Lord, friends, by Jesus. We just have to cooperate with him in order to have as much grace in this world, not only for ourselves, but for the whole culture, the whole world. When you see a lot of wars, a lot of unrest, a lot of division, that means that we're not cooperating with what Jesus has told us will make peace in the world, that will make peace in our homes and families, or at least more of it. Okay? So I wanted to, you can choose to cooperate and live in his victory and listen to him, or you can choose to reject that and live in the chaos and the worldliness that others offer you. And trust me, I did. It's not pretty. And you know it. Those of you who are living, not living in the victory and living in, you know, listening to the world more than you're listening to him, you have more faith in the nasty stuff that's going on in the world, and it's a power, than you have in Jesus Christ and his power, who created the world. Anyway, so, nonetheless, I go on. I wanted to share with you a couple of things in articles here. So, Jesus loves you unconditionally, personally, intimately, and he offers grace and friendship that transforms your life. Okay, this is from an article, How to Love Jesus, but it's really more about how Jesus loves you. So, Catholic teaching and a lot of Christian teaching emphasizes that God's love is unearned and freely given. As St. Paul writes, while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. While we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Showing that God's love is not based on our achievements or worthiness, but on God's grace and mercy, his love, his love. The Catechism of the Catholic Church affirms that God is love, and that his love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through baptism, okay, and confirmation, enabling us to respond by loving as he loves. Loving as he loves, not a human type of love, but a supernatural type of love that comes from him, in him, okay? This means no matter your past, your struggles, or your feelings of inadequacy, nothing in your past can keep you away from the love of Jesus. His love is constant and personal. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, provide concrete examples of Jesus' love in action. He healed the sick. He forgave sins. He comforted those who were grieving the loss of a loved one. He fed the hungry. He showed compassion to all, even those considered unworthy by society, the outcasts of culture. The ultimate expression of his love was the cross, where Jesus freely gave his life for humanity, demonstrating that his love is sacrificial, intimate, and transformative. Through this, Catholics understand that Jesus' love is not some abstract thing. It is lived and tangible. It's lived and real. You can see it. Okay? And then it goes on, Catholics are encouraged to, and I'm reading this to all Christians. Some of you think Catholics aren't Christians. You are very wrong. Very wrong. We love Jesus Christ with our whole hearts, and we show it, that love, in our works. We do not work our way to heaven. We respond in love with works to try to make the world a better place. Okay, so anyway, Catholics are encouraged to cultivate a personal relationship and friendship with Jesus, beginning with prayer. Beginning with prayer, being in touch with him. Participation in the sacraments, especially confession, Holy Communion, marriage, and reflecting on Bible scriptures. St. Thomas Aquinas describes this friendship as mutual indwelling. Mutual indwelling. dwelling. As we love Jesus, he loves us in return, and we are drawn into his life and goodness. And it says, practical ways to experience his love include recognizing blessings in daily life as gifts from God, such as relationships, nature, simple joys, and even some unexpected surprises that are good. One of the things that I learned a few years ago was look for the blessings. Things that I used to think of as coincidences, I look back on and I realize those weren't coincidences. They were little gifts from the Lord, little love notes from the Lord. And he's giving you little love notes, but you've got to be, your eyes have to be open and you have to have an open heart to recognize them. And you will. Lord, help me to recognize the blessings in my daily life and realize that they come from you. Might come through someone else's hands, but ultimately through you. And I was listening to someone speak a few weeks ago, and he said, you need, you know, instead of looking at all the things that you're expected to do each day and how overwhelmed you might be or sad or whatever, he says, look, when you wake up in the morning, realize that you have been given a gift. Every day is a gift from God. Your life, another day of life, is a gift from God. How are you going to live it? How are you going to live it? Instead of looking at what's overwhelming you and bothering you and worrying you, look at, oh, he's given me a gift of another day. Let's take this day the way he would want me to take this day. You know, prayer, you know, Holy Communion, if you can do it. Setting aside time to touch base with people that you love that you haven't. You know, do the work that he needs you to do, but don't overwhelm yourself. Pray for family members who have gone astray or where there's division and chaos, and put it in his hands and trust him to be working on it. We can't make miracles, but God can. And when we ask him, he gives us ideas on how to improve the situation. He will. And he uses other people to help improve the situation. And he has his own hand in it as well. So prayer is a very powerful thing. And recognizing the blessings that we already have, a gift of another day, and the ability to pray again, and et cetera, et cetera. The relationships, the nature, simple joys. And the author goes on to say, spending time in prayer or before the Blessed Sacrament, opening your heart to his presence, that is very, very effective. If you are going to pray, I'll tell you what, I work with Mother Teresa's sisters in Chester, and they have an hour of prayer that I've been in with them, and I watch them, and they pray the rosary first, which takes about a half an hour, and then the last half hour, they mostly listen to what the Lord wants to say to them. And so that listening is key. Don't always pray or even visit the Blessed Sacrament where you just talk the whole time. Be open. That scripture, speak, Lord, for your daughter, your son, your servant, whatever you want to think of yourself as. Speak, Lord, for I am listening. Okay? And then responding with love and service to others. Reflecting or radiating the love you receive from Christ by giving it to others. Nothing he gives us is to be held back only for ourselves. Okay? So it says Jesus' love is both intimate and transformative. He's present within us and around us. In Acts 17 in the Bible, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. By trusting in his love, practicing gratitude, and seeking a deeper relationship through prayer and the sacraments, Catholics can experience all Christians can experience the reality of Jesus' love in their daily lives, allowing it, wanting it to shape their hearts and actions. In summary, Jesus loves you freely, personally, and sacrificially, inviting you into a relationship of friendship and grace that empowers you to love others and recognize your inherent worth, how much you mean to God, what you are worth in His eyes. So, He loves you, absolutely loves you. No matter who you've been in the past and what you've done, but you've heard this before, He loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. Even if you're an exemplary Christian, He wants you to be more. He wants to have a deeper relationship with you. If you're a newbie or you don't really know anything about Him, just seek Him. You know, pray, Lord, if you are real, show yourself to me. I want to believe, and you better want to believe. Because if you're just challenging Him to prove Him wrong, you're defeating yourself. So be honest. I want to know you. If you are there, show me you are there, and then listen and watch every day to see how that happens. Okay? He might give you a desire in your heart to read a certain book or to remember something that happened when you were younger that was, they suddenly realized was a little nudge from Him or something like that to draw you to Him. And let's see. So, you know, one of the things that you know, I'm going to talk more about this next week. I won't be live on Facebook next week unless something changes. I'm going to be away, so I'll be broadcasting on the station, the radio station, remotely. But I hope you'll tune into it. It's WTMRradio.com. At 5 o'clock on Mondays, WTMR.com, 5 o'clock on Mondays, that's pretty much it, you know, so, or 800 AM in the Philadelphia, Camden area, but the reception's not that great, so it's clearer if you listen on their actual website. But I'm going to talk more next week about, okay, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what commandments is He referring to? And I want to give you a little idea today. And it is, He talks about it in Mark 12, the Gospel of Mark. One of the scribes, when he came forward and heard them disputing and saw how well Jesus had answered them, he asked Jesus, which is the first of all the commandments? And Jesus replied, the first is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. So if you love God with all your heart, you're already a winner. I mean, heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And if you love your neighbor, and Jesus, this was before Jesus gave the new commandment. The new commandment that He later gives is love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you. That beautiful, wholehearted, sacrificial love. And so... no other commandment is greater than these. So we're loving God and working more towards that love and allowing Him to give us the grace to have that love. So we're already winning there. And then if we're loving our neighbors or each other as Jesus loved us, we won't want to sin because sin is a rejection of God and a rejection of our responsibilities to our fellow humankind. You know, Is it being loving to steal something? Is it being loving to have an affair? Is it being loving to murder? No. If you're loving, you wouldn't think of doing those things. So purely by loving, with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit helping us, we will automatically be living Jesus' commandments. So, but next week, I'm going to speak more about what did he command? You know, we all know about the Ten Commandments, and we should study them, and not just study them for what they are, but why they are. Why would God give us those commands? And think about it. Think about it. How it affects us in our hearts and minds, and how it affects the culture, the people outside of myself, doing those things versus not doing those things, okay? And then, so I'm going to also share with you one last article here about the joy of loving Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, if I give myself to Jesus, it's all self-sacrifice, no fun, no, you know, I can't do what I want to do anymore. And that's simply not true. You might be able to do exactly what you've been doing, but you'll be filled with more love. You'll be filled with more understanding. You'll be filled with with ideas on how to make the world a better place. You'll be concerned about making Jesus happy that day. And how can I make Jesus happy? And I can tell you that when you make Jesus happy, you are happy. You know, living for yourself and selfishness, we're not created to be like that, so we're never really happy in that. So there's this last article for today. The joy of loving Jesus is beautifully expressed in the hymn, the Christian hymn, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts, which reflects the deep fulfillment and peace found in a relationship with Jesus. This hymn is a profound expression of the joy and contentment that comes from loving Jesus. It was written by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux in the 12th century and translated by Ray Palmer in the 19th century. It captures the essence of spiritual longing and fulfillment. The hymn emphasizes that Jesus is the source of true joy and satisfaction, which he is, stating that those who find him experience completeness and peace. And I want to add something to that. We Christians, excuse me, we have received so much by saying yes to him, that we continue in our walk with him. We continue to believe. We have not, as some people think, merely accepted a religion from our parents. Sorry, I'm talking too much today. So, we might have been raised in a Christian home, with at least some understanding of Christianity and Jesus Christ. But when we became adults, we had to decide for ourselves, is this real or not real? And if you haven't done that and you haven't researched it yourself, I encourage you to do it. A good place to start, even if you're not Catholic, is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because in there it teaches you what Jesus taught and why. It's really wonderful. But in this hymn that they're talking about, the key themes in the hymn are fulfillment in Christ. The hymn begins with the acknowledgement that earthly joys are fleeting, and true fulfillment is found in Jesus. It expresses a yearning for Jesus' presence, highlighting that our souls are restless until they find rest in Him. And second thing is sustaining presence. The lyrics convey a desire for Jesus to remain with us, making our moments calm and bright. This reflects the belief that His presence brings light and hope to our lives, and He is always present. I am with you always. Three, spiritual nourishment. The hymn also speaks of Jesus as the living bread, indicating that He nourishes our spiritual hunger and thirst. This metaphor illustrates the deep connection between faith and sustenance, emphasizing that loving Jesus fulfills our deepest needs. But if you're Catholic, you are also fed in Holy Communion. Your body, your mind, and your soul are fed with Jesus Himself during Holy Communion. And it is a powerful, remarkable, holy gift that Jesus gives to us in Holy Communion. And it's priceless. And so the author goes on to say, loving Jesus brings joy that transcends circumstances. No matter the circumstance, you can have joy in a relationship with Jesus. Many believers find that their relationship with Him provides strength during difficult times and joy in moments of gratitude. This joy is often expressed through worship, prayer, and community, reinforcing the idea that love for Jesus is both a personal and communal or group experience. In summary, the joy of loving Jesus is a central theme in Christian faith, beautifully articulated in hymns and personal testimonies. It invites believers to experience the profound peace and fulfillment that comes from a deep, loving relationship with Him. My friends, Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking. Even if you're a believer, He constantly knocks because He wants to give you more. He wants deep. That's why my show is Into the Deep. He wants deep with you. He has so much love that He wants to reveal to you, that He wants to give to you. He wants to share His type of love with you so that you can look at people differently. And you will. And it's a truth that you get when you believe, when you're baptized, when you obey Him. So next week, I will talk to you about how to love Him more. What are the commandments that He expects you to do as part of your give and take relationship? He loves you. Trust it. Until next week, please pray for us. We are praying for you, and God bless you and keep you. Thank you.